go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And my name is Ben Bolin. Listeners might not know this, Scott, but you and I have some silent partners in the podcast studio here.
Yes, we do.
Yep. And you get where I'm going with this.
I'm sitting right next to Pablo Picasso.
Thankfully, a censored picture of Pablo Picasso.
I didn't know that somebody had censored the picture, but yes, there's a piece of tape discreetly placed over I'm sitting next to Pablo Picasso.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
And he has a rather confused artistic expression. And I'm sitting next to a very smug-looking Nikola Tesla.
I see that.
And whenever we cover alternative energy vehicles, I always feel like I need to look to the left, and this guy is looking at me like I'm getting my facts wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does have a kind of a damning look on his face, like maybe, what did you just say?
That's true. That's true. But you know what, Nick? You're going to have to sit this one out. I call him Nick. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to sit this one out because today Scott and I are going to talk about something that is actually fairly recent in the history of cars, but now fairly ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And frankly, kind of fascinating.
Yeah, this is to me, this is one of the cooler things that's out there.
Have you ever seen this in a movie?
Seen this in
these things?
I think I have, and I think I know what you're talking about. Like maybe there's someone still in the vehicle.
Uh huh.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're talking about car crushers, and what Ben's talking about is maybe that tense moment where someone's pushing the button for the car to be crushed, mm-hmm. and someone peeks out the window that had been knocked out previously. Somehow ended up in the back seat or was intentionally put in the back seat.
And the music starts and you hear the overpowering sound of the hydraulic.
Yeah, that's right.
Of the hydraulics pushing the plates closer and closer.
Exactly. Or the kidnappee is still in the trunk of the car. You know, that kind of thing. That's enough to give you nightmares, I think.
So it sounds weird if you don't know about car crushers.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a car crusher is just an umbrella term for a number of different devices that are used to compress the remains of a car after it's been stripped of anything you could possibly use. Think about the old idea of Native Americans killing bison and using every part of the animal. Like you want to try to get everything usable off of the car before you crush it.
Wow. Wow.
Is that weird?
No, I don't know. I just didn't expect it to go to bison and Native Americans, but that's good. That's a good analogy because what they do is they take off, let's say that this car has desirable headlights that, are still good.
Yeah.
They'll take those off. They'll take 10 minutes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take, chrome pieces off if they want to.
A good transmission even.
Exactly. Yeah. These things are definitely, we'll call it looted for parts, but really they own the vehicle. So I don't know if you can call it looting or not, but they're stripped of everything valuable, like you said, valuable wheels or valuable tires or valuable parts, even components, even like axles and things like that, or engines.
So here's a good question.
Yeah.
And stop me if I'm interrupting you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's a good question. Why do we crush cars to begin with?
The whole moral of this story is that we crush cars because we like to make new cars. They're recycled eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get to where they go after this because that's really
– yeah.
There's another step in this beyond even the car crusher.
Mm-hmm.
That's really important and maybe dare I say it, even cooler than a car crusher, but car crushers are still cool.
Yeah, I'll go with it. There's a reason we put them in this order.
Yeah, there's a reason. We're talking about car crushers first.
Mm-hmm.
And really that's kind of the initial step in this whole process, and we talk about how they're crushed. They're crushed down to, Ben, get this, a car can be crushed down to 9 inches thick.
Which you can also watch on YouTube.
Yes, yes. And that is really cool. I think it's neat. It's slow.
Mm-hmm.
It happens very slowly. But you've really got to kind of wrap your head around what you're seeing in order to understand how impressive that is because you watch it happen and it just happens and, they load another one on and they crush another one right on top of it.
And it looks easy.
It does look – it looks so easy that it doesn't quite sink in what's happening,
mm-hmm.
that they're taking an entire automobile and making it flat as a pancake right in front of your eyes within seconds. And that to me is impressive.
Yeah, we should also talk – a lot of people who've seen the films, most of my experience before doing podcast research here was with the car crushers depicted in movies. And those are kind of bail crushers. So
yeah.
they create a cube, but far more common will be what Scott and I are talking about, where it's crushed into like a sheet.
Now, I believe the cube ones, I believe they have to have the engine, transmission, axles, things
yeah.
like that removed.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are some of the heavier items. You're crushing the frame and the shell of the car.
Yes.
And
yes.
Those are so impressive to see. I mean, have you ever seen a car or a truckload of square cars headed down the road? You know, they're all bailed together.
Yeah.
I haven't in a long, long time because recently – I have seen these. I've seen a lot of flattened cars. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're still the length of the car. They're all flattened down to, like we said,
9 inches.
Most of them are
yeah.
about a foot thick.
Yeah.
And they're just piled one on top of the other. You may see 20 or 30 on the back of a big flatbed truck headed down the road. You know, they've been crushed by this hydraulic system that puts out 3,000 pounds per square inch is what they say. That's, again, listen to that number, 3,000 pounds per square inch is what they're exerting on a car in order to flatten it.
And then do a rough estimate in your head, if you would, about how many square inches your car is.
Yeah, square inches.
And then multiply that by 3,000.
Amazing.
And
amazing.
If you're as ridiculous as I am, this is kind of dumb, but over the weekend when I was watching some car crushing videos, mm-hmm. I was going to wash my car, and I was standing out there, and I was by the back end of the Monte Carlo by the trunk, mm-hmm. and I put my hand on it. I just went, I looked around, you know, shifty-eyed, probably my neighbors already think I'm really weird. And then I just gave it a couple pushes just to see. And I was trying to picture.
Maybe the springs moved.
If the tires weren't on it, yeah. I kind of bumped it a little bit.
Yeah.
But if the tires weren't on it, I thought, is there any way that I could do more than make a dent?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so strange to see these things crumble. So easily, crumple rather.
Yeah.
So easily.
And you know, with this, I don't know, the style that makes like a pancake almost, we'll call it, just a flat vehicle. What's really kind of neat about this is I think, in a lot of cases, they do take off parts that they can use, the axles, the engine block and things. But I believe, Ben, that they can now crush engine blocks with these things, because they do eventually go to another machine. They can handle items like that. And in the past, that wasn't true.
I'm laughing because I could tell we'll get through crushers
and
go
oh,
to the
shoot,
big
we
ticket.
Still, okay, we'll still hang on to crushers for just another minute.
Just another minute. It does make sense because more than half of a junked car is made from steel,
mm-hmm.
usually, on average. And there's a compelling economic reason to recycle this because
mm-hmm.
steel in a per ton price is fairly profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can take a machine that was made in the 1970s and is still in operation, as several
mm-hmm.
car crushers are, then it's just all money off the top, man.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another remarkable thing about some of these car crushers is that you'll find that a lot of them, as you mentioned, you know, in the 70s, they're getting up there in age, and you know what? They're still just as tough as they were the day they were built
mm-hmm.
because these things are built out of hardened steel. They have to be, you know, tougher than whatever they're crushing. They have to be extremely just solid machines that, you know, are well engineered, that, you know, they've proven themselves in over decades of time
mm-hmm.
just to be – I mean, you know, the hammers and things that they use to smash up the wheels, the grinding wheels, those are replaceable parts. Those are consumables. But the machine itself has to be able to withstand, you know, weather, because these things aren't inside. They're outside.
Right.
They're massive. And they have to be able to like I said, be stronger than what they're crushing. They have to – you know, stand up under these tremendous forces.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, the maintenance of them is important as well. You know, of course, they wouldn't last as long as they do without maintenance. But overall, extremely, extremely tough, because some of these are approaching, you know, 50 years old.
Yeah, and some of them are, as you would assume, gigantic. A lot of the older ones are stationary.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding, more and more of the newer ones are actually portable.
Mm-hmm.
And just for a quick stat, now Scott and I were talking about this off of the air. I can't do it yet. We have
no,
to
not
wait.
Not yet.
Okay,
not
sorry.
Yet, because that's what we're coming up to. But, you know, if you want to look into the, if you're guessing the price of something like this,
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I got to tell you, I found this to be somewhat reasonable for what you're getting.
I thought this was remarkably affordable.
If you're in the market for a car crusher, ballpark, around $120,000 to $150,000,
mm-hmm.
which, I don't know, it seems all right. It seems like you would make an awful lot of money if you were scrapping cars, you know, if you had a service bringing vehicles to you and, you know, mm-hmm. you were cemented in this system, you know, you're somewhere in there where you had a supply and you had someone to sell to and, you know, et cetera. It seems like this would pay for itself awful quick.
Mm-hmm.
120 to 150, that's – I was expecting like a million.
Now, that's not the top of the line. That's not the best one.
No,
that's a good one.
But that will crush a car.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you can see there's so many different types. There's one really strange one that I saw. I say really strange. It was just unorthodox to me, where the car was pushed through this frame that wasn't very large, and there's an operator standing by, and then there are two plates on either side. Like the walls, and they mm-hmm. push down, and they are not large enough to crush an entire car. So you move it through in segments.
Makes sense. So you buy a smaller unit and just take a little bit more labor, mm-hmm. but eventually it does the same job.
Yeah, eventually it does the same job. But Scott, we've gone through the steps. We've gone through the fact that the car is stripped of everything remotely valuable. In some cases, they can even crack the engine block now, mm-hmm. so they may leave that in if it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to mention, of course, hazardous materials are removed. Like, you don't want the battery in there when you crush it.
Yeah.
And then the
– And fuel tanks.
Oh, yeah.
You want to drain the fuel tanks.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's other safety procedures that they, mm-hmm. that they do along the way.
And then we get to the actual crushing. Now, if it's a large operation, they may wait until they've got a number of cars gutted mm-hmm. and then turn on the crushers so they can do this all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they've got it all crushed – everything's gone. We just have these pancake piles of cars.
Mm-hmm.
We're not done yet.
Oh, no. This is, like I said, this is maybe to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it is more interesting to watch than the crusher, I think.
Yeah, I believe. I'll
my
go
opinion.
With you.
Just
yeah.
my opinion. I mean, other people have differing, but you want to tell them where they go, Ben, after they're crushed?
Well, once they're crushed, especially if you recycle, you can't use just a flat pancake car. You have to put it. You have to somehow get it into smaller pieces.
Make it manageable.
You have to shred it.
The car is shredded. Are you listening to this? It's shredded. This is probably one of the cooler things that I've ever seen, a car shredder.
This is crazy.
And intensely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly efficient. And we're talking about massive, massive machines, right, Ben? These are
yes, sir.
These are the type of thing that will be featured on, you know, like those massive structures or
yeah,
incredible
engineering
machines.
Marvels
or, yeah, exactly. One of those shows. Ben, how are they typically measured when they talk about this astounds me.
Yeah.
How are they measured when they talk about the size of these things?
Now, you're not talking about tons, right?
No, not tons. But they do that also. But,
yeah.
But what are some of the more impressive figures that you'll hear?
Oh, I don't know. Measurement in terms of acres, maybe?
Acres large. That's right. It's measured in acres. That's how big this machine is. And, you know, you'd think it would be something that's just, you know, fed. Like, think of your little office shredder.
Right.
You know, that you put paper into or something
yeah.
like that. Similar idea in that it has cams and gears that destroy whatever goes inside, but
sure.
you know, cross cuts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine that on such a scale that you can dump a vehicle that's been flattened into it. And really, really ponder this when I tell you that they can put in sometimes as many as four at a time.
Yes, and it will, in a matter of minutes, eat the cars. It looks like – that's the way I compare it. It looks like it is eating these cars.
Yeah.
And when you check these things out, what you'll see is that they'll take the crushed cars and they'll pretty much digest them into these chunks that are about the size of an average human fist.
Hey, Ben, I'm gonna correct you here
yeah,
because
here.
I've got a number here that's dramatically different.
What's that?
You know, you said minutes, right?
Oh, wait. Yeah, you're right.
That may have been early on in different mm-hmm. types of shredders, smaller shredders.
Yeah.
Some of the shredders that they call the mega shredders, the big ones.
Yes.
These huge shredders that you said acre,
acres,
you know,
yeah.
by acres. They can take a car in and completely chew it up in 3 to 4 seconds.
That is crazy.
Three to four seconds.
So even if they do six cars at a time, then that's still not a minute.
Correct. Ow. Correct. So it's incredibly fast, faster than you think, really. And it does – it makes them into the size – you know, it takes a car, eats it, and what comes out the other side is well, I think they described it as like fist-sized pieces of metal, mm-hmm. you know, shredded different shapes and sizes, of course. But fist size is a good general rule for the size that they're looking for.
And one of the biggest shredders, if we can talk about this one,
mm-hmm.
Was located in Elkhart, Indiana, owned by Sturgis Iron and Metal. This one had an 8,000-pound electric motor. The hammer spun at 175 miles per hour. One thing that is different between a car shredder and the shredder you may have in your home or your office is that these things, these belts that are turning that are actually shredding the cars can be thought of like hammers.
Yeah, this hammer wheel that he's talking about is like a drum that has great big metal protrusions all around it. And it just spins, and they can back that up and, you know, make it run forward and backward, the belt that leads into it. And, you know, that will just slam into the car and just crushes it into oblivion. And then it's shredded from that point with discs. And it's just it's an incredible process that you can watch. But and it's all very high tech as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's an operator that likens – you know, you can watch these interviews with people that run these things. And they say it's like playing a video game. And it becomes that way. Now, they understand, you know, the danger of what they're doing. They understand, you know, what's happening. And they really have a sense for – you know, just how dangerous this machine could be. So they're very, very careful about it. But the controls are very much like a video game. They're watching screens that monitor the processes. They, of course, got a great view of what's happening. But at the same time, it's very dangerous too because, you know, things can be thrown out, you know, at bullet speed at them because this machine is really, really churning in order to devour cars at 3 to 4 seconds, you know, per car. So incredibly fast running machines, but imagine just take for a second to think what happens if, you know, someone on the line gets their shirt sleeve stuck in it. They got to be able to shut that down quick, really quick, because you don't want to be anywhere near those jaws when they're operating.
And did you catch this little statistic that I found incredibly interesting? At least the shredder in Indiana is so powerful that they had to build it on special dampeners.
Really?
To prevent seismic vibrations,
Scott.
See
that? You know what that sounds like?
What?
A stamping plant. Stamping plants are built with instead of imagining floors, and this is the way you're talking about, the dampeners. I don't know what they were made of, but in a stamping plant where they have stamping machines that drive down from stories above to stamp out panels in cars, if you imagine like a post, a wooden post, imagine that post driven straight down to the floor. So when you look at the top of the floor, you see it almost looks like a parquet floor with, you know, the tops you'll see 8x8 pieces of wood or 4x4 pieces of wood rather than planks like you would on a normal wood floor.
Huh.
And that's because the wood floor goes deep, deep into the ground and it absorbs it better that way because it's individual pieces of wood. So they may have a similar thing going with them, or maybe it was on rubber dampers or whatever.
Yeah.
But again, the same thing so that, you know, it doesn't get into the underlying rock structure and, well, it could destroy the building all around it. The machine could. So I understand what they're talking about, but this is something that was operating continually 24 hours a day, just churning out these cars, or destroying these cars, rather. I think it was shut down, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm not completely sure, but I believe so well because we had talked about this already.
There's the company itself, I think, went bankrupt in 2008 or 9, something like that. So some of this information that you'll read online about it, you know, you'll find some stuff about it being closed down. I think the entire steelworks or ironworks was
shut down. All of Sturgis.
Yeah, exactly. But still, it doesn't take away from the impressive machine that they had there. And there are others like it.
Yes, that is true. It's not the last of its breed by any means. Mm-hmm. We should also point out to any would-be entrepreneurs, auto shredders are going to be more expensive than these car crushers we're talking about, just because of the technology and the scale involved.
Sure. I mean, they were invented in 1965. That's when the car shredder was really invented by Alton Newell, who was an engineer. had his own company, his own shredding company, and decided that this is a better way to do it. Because, you know, up until this point, Ben, the way that they compacted cars and the way they recycled cars was they would take them apart, or they would, you know, take the individual pieces off of them and kind of cannibalize them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, after that was done, they would literally attack it with hammers and axes,
yeah,
and destroy the cars. And it would take – sometimes it would take a full day, mm-hmm, to dismantle or destroy a car. Or they would simply take a large machine like a tractor, and they would just drive over it again and again,
again
and again,
again
until it crushed it. And you can see these old videos of them crushing old cars or hitting them with axes and, you know, to take them down. And it was very labor intensive. And that's when Alton, who owned the salvage yard, said, you know, I think there's a better way. Let's automate this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And from that point, you know, it's just become incredible. I mean, we shred papers with similar type things.
Right.
We, you know, it's a very, very simple version of what you see happening at the auto salvage yards. Mm-hmm. But if you live anywhere near one of these, it's worthwhile to take a look at it. You want to go see it in action or go online and take a look at some of these shredding videos.
Yeah, if you're afraid of getting nailed with a fist-sized chunk of metal, you can check it out online.
Yeah.
And for everyone who wonders about this, I know I'm talking about the economic benefits, but there are clearly environmental benefits as well.
Oh, yeah.
Automobiles are the most recycled consumer product in the United States.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, because just the massive quantities that are produced every day and then the massive quantities that are destroyed every day.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, imagine if we were taking all those cars and just dumping them into a landfill. That's enormous. And that's what we were doing up until a certain point.
Right.
When I
yeah.
mentioned, you know, the tractors crushing cars, those were just landfill material. Mm. Or people would just abandon them out in, you know, in the desert, or, you know, the the suburbs of
right.
cities, you know, they drive them out somewhere and park them in the woods and just leave them.
Mm.
That happened often. And, you know, so you've got these, well, piles of rusty junk laying around.
Yeah.
And, now, you know, it's much more affordable for everybody if we continue to recycle cars like this. You know, if they continue to use these old cars to recycle them, because, you know, it's the cost of mining versus the cost of recycling.
Absolutely.
And the recycling cost far outweighs the mining cost for new materials on these things.
The recycling cost is far less than the
mining
cost.
Oh, did I
cost.
Say it the wrong way?
No, yeah. No, I got what you're saying.
Yeah. Something like that.
So there we have it. You got anything else?
I do.
Yes.
I do. And this, you know, I have something that is a tremendous waste of time.
Awesome.
And by that, I mean, it's so interesting that I think you're going to end up sitting online watching these little short videos again and again and again. And I promise our Car Stuff listeners, this will not disappoint, because there's a little something for everybody here, okay? There's a place where you can go online, and all you have to do is type in into Google search, type in watch it shred.
Yes! Okay.
Watch
yes.
it shred. Now, the interesting thing about this is that when you do that, it takes you to a site called SSI, which is Shredding Systems Incorporated, and they have done this really awesome thing. They've made short video clips of their product, which are shredders,
mm-hmm.
shredding anything and everything that you can imagine. And this is often listener requests.
Yeah, it's not just cars, right?
No. These are people that write in and say, in fact, cars are a very small part of this site.
Mm-hmm.
They call in and they, you know, they've got this machine that they call the Monster, which is like 15 feet tall, 800 horsepower, driving these shredding, looks like cams that destroy these things, whatever you put in there. And they've got other shredders as well. They're very specialized, you know, for what they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And some can handle cars, some can't. Some can handle metal, others can't. You know, some are for biological material, and, you know, et cetera, you know, on and on. But they've got this incredible list of things that you can watch shred, and it sounds like you've been there.
Yeah, I checked it out a little bit, because I got there actually from checking out Will It Blend?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a similar idea
yeah.
where there's a group of people who put things like cameras and
yeah.
stuff into blenders. And so I had seen some of this, and I was just astounded, because I actually saw it before we did any research for the shredding
mm-hmm.
and the crushing episode that we're doing today. I was just amazed, because it was actually the first time I had seen a vehicle shredder.
Okay. Now this, yeah, the vehicle shredder is pretty awesome.
Mm.
I got to tell you, there are some things that I may have found even more interesting to watch being shredded on this Will It Shred site than a car. And I don't know why that is. I mean, it's very, very entertaining to watch a car being just chewed up and into nothing. But
do you have like a top three?
I've got more than top three. Awesome. I can quickly go through them. And I'm not going to describe them in detail, but you know, some of these you'll find more exciting than others.
So these are Scott's favorite shreds.
I got to say, one of my favorite ones, I think, Ben, a 55-gallon drum.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. If it catches – when this machine, they throw it in this hopper, and as it kind of bounces around, you see these massive cams just churning, waiting for something to catch. And, you know, it's a round object, a big 55-gallon drum.
Yeah.
Steel drum. As soon as it catches a corner, it just pulls it right in, sucks it right in, and it's gone.
Does it ever bounce off?
It does. It bounces around until finally an edge catches, and then it sucks it right in. But you will not believe the speed that a 55-gallon drum disappears in this thing, in this hopper. It gives you an idea of just how dangerous this thing is. If tragically were to fall inside this thing, I can't imagine what would happen. I can imagine what would happen.
That's the worst part.
Now, some of the other things that they throw in there, and these are things that you would never think could be shredded. A piano.
What?
Then? Yeah, they can throw a piano in there, and it makes quick work. The key to this whole thing seems to be if it can catch an edge, it just continues to pull it in, and that's it. There's no escape. Mm-hmm. None at all. A plastic boat, which goes away quickly, very quickly. Bicycles. Soccer balls, which are entertaining to watch because
they bounce around.
They
right?
bounce all over the place and then they're just popped one after the other.
It's a group of soccer
balls. And when they do this, they do 30 or 40 at a time. They've got materials, you know, like used sports equipment that they need to shred for the material.
Mm.
Bowling balls and pins, Ben. You can throw bowling balls in this thing and it will shred them. And what comes out the other side looks like bits of ceramic. But to see it crushing bowling balls, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, again, 30 or 40 or 50 of these at a time.
That's frightening.
It is frightening because when you think about how heavy a bowling ball is and how tough, just how tough that surface is, I can't even imagine putting a chisel against it and hitting it with a hammer and making that do anything.
Yeah.
Amazing. Something I didn't think they could do.
What was it?
Engine blocks. They can throw full engine blocks into this thing and it will chip away at them. It takes a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
The sound is deafening. But, you know, these big, huge cams that grind this thing apart, they just kind of chip away at it until eventually there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible to watch. Steel rebar, which is also impressive. Couches. Let's see. Tractor tires. These enormous tractor tires just shredded into nothing, you know, quickly. Couches. I mentioned couches, but other wooden furniture. Refrigerators, Ben. You could dump a refrigerator into there.
That makes sense. It still weirds me out, though. I'm still kind of stuck on the bowling balls.
It's bizarre. The bowling balls are probably one of the stranger things. I can't even begin to tell you the odd things that you can put in here, but there's a huge list. You can search it, and you can suggest things for them to shred. The only thing I don't like about this site, this little thing, is sometimes you'll get one of these that they've done like a little skit. And I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the skits.
They have a setup.
Yeah, kind of a setup. You're like, you know, the guy's out riding his lawnmower and it doesn't quite work. And, you know, so he gets mad at it and tips it over. And the next thing you see is it dumped in the shredder.
I see.
Things like that. But I just like it when they just get straight to the shredding. Let's see it.
Also, those hammers have to be replaced nearly every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Which
every
is no
day.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. If you've seen auto lines in process when they're machining engine blocks and things, they have to replace the cutting material often, if not, you know, hourly. So the hammers, I can imagine, wear out quickly too.
So if you live near one of these outfits and you're feeling charitable and you want
to hear, your skill works well enough to be able to hear our podcast,
right? And you want to send us some photos of either shredders or crushers, we would love to check them out. You can post them on our Facebook. You can send them to us on Twitter. You can also read up on our article about car crushers on HowStuffWorks.com. And you can send us an email directly at
CarStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.